For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Pre-Market Prep.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend. And we got some things to discuss today. But I swear, I was talking with the guys. I'm like this close to just saying screw it with everything and just putting all my money on some stupid Shiba Inu coin or something like that, because the FOMO is real. How was your weekend?
Excellent.
Excellent.
Excellent. Did you see the Michigan-Penn State game?
I saw the ending of it.
Yes. Just a great weekend all around. Just Michigan basketball won too. It was just very cold out, but still got outside, did some fun stuff. How about you?
I feel like you and I are on the same haircut cycle. This is not the first time. This second or third time that you and I have gotten haircuts in the same weekend. I think we're on the same cycle.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. All right. So this the new routine is kind of throwing me off a little
bit. Sorry.
Is that what I'm supposed to do? Now I'm supposed to do the quick rundown?
Yeah, go for it.
Strong close on Friday. Strong after hours action. Up 13 handles, 91 and a quarter. What we're going to be thinking about today is 94 and a quarter. That's the all-time closing high. Looks like we got a good shot of taking that out. Crude down $1.17, $79.62, under $80. Wow. Gold down $2.50, $18.66.10. Silver going the same way, down a dime at $25.25. Bitcoin just won't get out of that 60 handle. Up 1680 at 65,915. And Ethereum up $92.50 at 47.79 and a quarter. Is Triple D still lurking around?
Did he get a haircut also?
Oh yeah.
No,
look at my haircut. It's beautiful.
Can I make
I'm
a comment?
Definitely on the same haircut cycle as you guys, I'll tell you that much.
can I make a few comments?
I haven't been in a hair like to get my hair cut in 2 years. Just the wife kind of clips her around a little bit every once in a while. She thinks she's an amateur barber, so she's doing good. What do you want to tell me?
What's up?
Think about the intro. Okay.
Okay.
I look great. You know, very kind.
Oh my goodness. Okay. She doesn't like the way I look.
Tennis. Okay. Every beer maker in Canada is cringing. Okay. He's wearing a Coors t-shirt. Did you notice that?
Well, Molson owns Coors. So
that's
okay,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right.
So they're actually good. I'm actually representing.
A Labatt's Blue.
I didn't know I was wearing a Coors t-shirt. I don't even drink Coors. I was wearing a Coors t-shirt that.
Yeah,
I don't even know if I own a Coors t-shirt.
No, it wasn't Coors.
Yes, it is.
I don't know.
I think it was Sleeman.
I don't want to play it again to find out.
Yeah, maybe we should.
I don't know, Dennis. Get a collar.
Look at how nice my shirt is today. It's a little pocket tee. That's kind of fancy.
And it's got no wrinkles.
There's no beer shirt. I probably need to shave. I probably need a haircut. Probably.
I hear part of the the new things with Benzingas. There's gonna be a dress code, Dennis. That's what I heard.
I know suits, eh? I don't even own a suit. So there, you're going to have to ship me a suit. At least all the right. Top. I'll go like Mark Haynes always did. You know, you got the suit and the tie on the top, and then you got the jogging pants on the bottom. That's the way I'll be.
That's every weatherman in America. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take us back to Elon Musk. What Elon Musk do this weekend? I see stock down $25.
He actually just tweeted again. He's been going at Bernie Sanders all weekend for some reason. But yeah, to your point, Dennis, what you're referring to is he sold a little bit more on Friday night. He sold, or not Friday night, he sold it on Friday, but the filing hit on Friday night. He sold another 1.2 million shares at an average price of $10.29.67.
We've got the math going. I mean, I'm problem is I stopped doing the running count here. So do we know we need the Benzinga to go do the math on how many shares he sold, because we know he wants to sell 17 million. So he had 171 million. He said he was going to sell 10%. So he's going to sell like 17 mil.
We're up to just under seven.
Ooh. Okay. So we're getting there, but there's still 10 million to go. So the stock seems to go down every day because, Elon Musk sold more. The gift of all gifts was 2 days ago when they rallied after day one. Day one, up to $1,100, and everybody's like, oh, it's over. It's not over. Do the grade two math. He's got a lot more stock to go. And then he sold the next day, and they rammed it, and they keep ramming it down. And so now we're at 1,000. I will say, huge level for Tesla, $987. That's the low from 3 days ago. That's the psychological marker, 1,000. It does appear that we're going to test that level here in the pre-market. We are obviously down 25 points at 1,006. It's only 20 bucks away, so we look like we want to test it. Does it bounce and does it hold the 987? That's the critical level for it to hold. Or does Elon Musk selling pressure, which he will be selling more stock again, and obviously we're looking at 10 million shares more, so he's not quite halfway there, continue to put pressure on the stock?
All right, first of all, full disclosure, I still have a long position and I'm not selling
it. Did you sell any? Have you sold any?
It's a small position. That's
not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, for
you look at things and then you go, I sold it and I didn't rebuy it. Okay. This is, and I'm not buying puts on it. I think there's considerable more downside in the stock for a couple different
reasons. Me and Joel, all we do is talk against her book. we don't sell because we don't want to pay tax.
987 is just too obvious of a number. Okay, so yeah. if I was short term trading in there and I was looking for a bounce, yeah, you know, maybe for a bounce. But you got this 950 low right here, right? You got the gap to fill all the way down to 900. But I think what this is doing is there's never been a really a good reason to short the stock. A lot of people have tried, but right now we talk about overhead supply. There is, you know, you're building up overhead supply now from everyone between 1,000 and 1,250 now, right? So there's a lot of people stuck. So even after Elon is done, there's still going to be people that are going to, there's overhead supplies is building up. So fill the gap maybe at 900. I am not going to figure any kind of retracements or anything.
Down.
Yeah.
That's not, I don't think you're getting there. Maybe the Elon Musk continuing sales here. No. We know long-term Tesla, I think, is a lot lower long-term. Like, I think if you put Tesla in your long-term portfolio at $1,000, you're going to look back at it one day at like $500 or $400 or $300, and you'd be like, why did I do that? But I think it's still got the story is still hot, so it doesn't matter at all. I mean, I think we're like in 1998 for Tesla. I think we could have another year or two of going up before eventually, you know, everybody realizes, oh, my gosh, everybody's doing EVs now. The world,
yeah, but they're going to have a bigger market share.
It's all going to be Tesla, and we're all going to drive Teslas. And I'm telling you, it's all going to be all kinds of different EVs coming from everywhere. So my EV play is still Fisker. I've talked about it. I'm still long, and I haven't sold any shares at all. It's going to have pullbacks. It's going to give you opportunities. These things do not go up in a straight line. I think Fisker eventually could be a $50 stock.
With one car. They sell one car.
Fisker?
Yeah, or they
got more. They got the Ocean, and they got all kind. They've got more in the lineup here, and that guy's pretty smart. So
okay.
I think you're going to see like one to start production, but you're going to see more coming from this guy too.
You don't know about the pair. There's the Ocean, and then there's the pair.
What's the pair?
Check that one out. Look it
the
up.
Pear
Spencer.
From Fisker.
What's the pair?
Yeah, pear is in like the fruit, not as in like there's two of them. Like the yeah,
like P E A R.
Fisker pair.
That's it. Here, I'll pull up the images.
Do we have images of this?
Of course.
Is this still a concept, or is it actually going to go into production? The Fisker pair.
I don't actually know. I think it's. Oh, I don't know to answer the
pair.
Question.
I see one right there. P-E-A-R.
Yep. Let's see.
Let's find.
Give Google Images credit, or they'll yell at you.
Yeah, here we can go with that one.
That kind of looks like it's over the Ocean.
And it does.
No, that's the Ocean. That is the Ocean, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. That looks like cool. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm a believer. You know why?
That looks like
sometimes
a Corvette.
You just got to believe in the CEO. And this guy has been everywhere. He's obviously worked for a lot of auto designer. I mean, I sometimes you just got to say, do I believe in the founder or not? I think Fisker is a smart.
How do you like
person.
This guy?
He's not
so
Elon
much.
Musk, but I'm not like paying so Elon much? Musk's. What are you saying, Joel? Are you keeping her up?
Why do you like him so much? I mean, why do you?
I've just seen interviews of him. The guy seems like, maybe, you know, maybe And obviously, I've had a couple good runs of Fisker already too. So it's a good one for me.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, we bought a 15 and then went to 30 in like a week, and I'm like, okay, we got to ring the register on some of that. It's came all the way back and given us a second shot to retake it again. I think eventually you're going to see that 30 again on Fisker. But I don't chase. Like on all these stocks, you don't need to chase these things. These are longer term plays. This isn't like a short term day trading play for me. If it went to 30 today, well, that would be too much too fast. When they go parabolic and they go crazy, you ring the register and then you come out and you get it back. But, I mean, this has been a slow, steady climb. It is not parabolic. Do I think it's going to eventually pull back to give you an opportunity? I think you get another shot to get back in this thing, maybe even under 20. But I think you got to take that shot. I think it's still I think people are going to start to realize, not just with Fisker, but, you know, a lot of these EV plays. And a lot of these EV plays aren't going to work out. Fisker is still just speculative capital. I mean, it might not work out. But at the same time, they've got the deal with Magna. They're going to start production.
I like that. I do like that.
Yeah. Magna's a real company. You know, what do we think? Like, you know, even look at Magna's chart, Joel. That kind of looks pretty good. MGA. Not saying
Do you know why I don't like Magna?
Why?
Because Frank Stronach owns the company, and he bought he bought my favorite racetrack in Detroit. And my dad's, when he bought it, my dad said, man, they're just going to do that. They're just buying it for the land and they're going to sell it and close it. And they did. Yeah. He owns Churchill Downs. He's big into horse racing, very big into horse, but that stock chart looks good. But that's important that they got a contract with a big company. I mean, how many of the other EV companies can say that?
Well,
right?
The production is going to happen with Magna. So a lot of these companies have to raise money trying to figure out how to do. Think about how much struggles Tesla had with production off the hop. Think about how much money they were burning. And they're like, are they going to run out of cash? Mm-hmm. Think about all those struggles there. You know, that, and then, you know, you've got to deal with Magna here. So that helps with all of that cause. But, you know, everybody's got their opinion. There's a million EV plays. You know, a lot of people don't like Fisker. I mean, results so far speak for themselves. Stock has done pretty good. But, you know, it could go to zero. It could be a zero. So that's why I stay diversified, you know, and we talk about that all the time. You know, I own like, I don't know, what, 80 stocks or 90 stocks in my long-term portfolio. So if that one went to zero, okay, I would lose, you know, 0.8% of my net worth. That would suck. But I mean, at the same time, you've got to have some capital. In growth and speculative capital. So you pick your stocks. I don't have Tesla in the long-term portfolio for the simple reason, but I tell you, you know, people, you know, it doesn't go in my long-term portfolio, but it's in my day trading portfolio a lot. It's not in there right now, but, you know, would I try the 987 for a bounce? Maybe. We got to see what it does there. Does it hit it hard and bounce? You know, what does it do? Does it do the undercut and rally? Because a lot of times it'll go 987, they go down to 980, then get back above it and then show some life. You kind of want them when they start showing life. But the problem is when Elon Musk still selling 10 million more shares,
yeah,
people are trying to get ahead of that. And they keep dumping ahead of that, saying he's not done yet. It will probably have its rally before he's done, though. So I don't think, like, wait until the day he's done selling and it's going to bottom that day. It will probably bottom before that. So we're in the kind of the middle of it. Are you early on the trade? Maybe. It's hard to say, but we've lost 200. We lost 20%. So it's a significant.
Yeah. So do the math. And how much is he? He's not even sold half of the stake, right? Or half.
The first half's going to be the worst because there's people getting ahead of it. Now there's, you know, people short the stock. Those people are going to have to cover. There's probably people that have put the stock short on just anticipating that he's going to be selling and it's going to go down. Those people eventually got to get out too. Not saying it's going to be a huge short squeeze in Tesla. It's had a short squeeze forever. It's for short interest, probably way less than it was, you know, years ago. But there's some short-term traders in there playing the short side, trying to anticipate that he's selling more. And they're right. They've been correct. So I think you're a little early, but that level's at 987. If you wanted to try it, it's a level. You know, at least you got a level.
Haven't hit it yet in the pre-market, just to give you, if you're looking, actually hasn't even hit 1,000 yet, pre-market low. Standing at pre-market low is 1002.50. So it's about $5.50 up. But there's one thing, you don't necessarily have to short it. But I mean, if we could talk to people, you know, if they're attempting a long, you know, just to be aware of that, you know, this is market structure. This is dynamics. There's a big seller in there, right?
Yes.
Do you want to figure out what if he decides to sell another 10%?
I don't think that's going to happen. He's kind of.
I don't know anything.
But we don't know. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. All we know is he said he's going to sell 10%. He was going to abide by it. He's at like 4%. So there's still 6% to go.
Well,
so you're right. This is market structure. This is a big seller in the market. And it's not just him pushing it down. It's everybody else getting ahead of it, pushing it down as well.
And he also said funding secured at 420. But I want to, before we move away from this, I want to bring up this tweet that Mitch just dropped here in our private chat. Look at this tweet from Henrik Fisker. Okay, this is from November 4th. Okay.
Yeah.
I just have too many things to announce. My PR team told me to wait until November 17th, which is in 2 days. But I think I will let a few things out on November 16th, as we have a secret pre-event for journalists coming to the LA Auto Show. Reminder that LA Auto Show is Friday. So maybe news this week out of FSR.
I love being long when I have a catalyst. So I have a catalyst all of a sudden.
You do.
What's Money Mitch think of Fisker? Are you in the background?
He likes it.
See there, Money Mitch, what are your thoughts on Fisker?
There's a reason why I don't hit you, Dennis. It's my favorite EV. I would have taken that lunch any day, but looks like there's no lunch there to take.
You're on the same side. When I say something and Mitch is like on the exact opposite, he pops in, want to do a lunch bet. Remember, what was the one you killed me on? Like, you rocked me on that one.
You know what? You could have got him on the Disney.
What was it?
It was Ride.
It was Ride. It was Ride. I got bullish on Ride somehow. I did everything. I bought the rip. I did everything like on paper. I was buying the rip and everything. Mitch is like, I know this is the wrong side of the trade. Went straight down for like 4 days after that.
I could tell you what day it was too. It was.
So one thing I'd mention about October 1st is they are taking the Tesla model, right? How did Tesla really get big? So it focused first on U.S. construction, right? And then it started going international, building kind of their factories in what? Germany, in China. This is the same strategy that Fisker is coming at. So they're trying to use Magna to go ahead and build here and build internationally and have different places so that they don't have to worry about sending their car overseas and then getting all that tax. So that's another advantage that I'm giving Fisker. They're really being smart in that we're going to do factories here. We're going to do factories in China. Then we'll do a factory in Europe. And then we'll keep building in each one and not send our cars across seas, which is what really kills the value and the margins.
Yeah, that's expensive. So
the EV trade is just simply not going. Like, it's going to cool. It's been hot. Don't kid yourself. The EV trade's been really hot here, and maybe it starts to cool off. But I don't believe – I think we're still somewhat in the early innings on the EV trade. And you just got to be careful because some of these stocks are going to work out and some of them aren't. I'm still long Ford. You know, I still like GM, and obviously I didn't rebuy it. But it pulls back. I will get back in my General Motors. I still like all the big autos. I think they're all going to be turning it around on EV. I think we're all going to be driving electric cars. I'm still long my LAC. I know it reported earnings, or at least it had some commentary or something today. I'm still long LTHM. Those are pure lithium plays, obviously. Yep. A bet on EV, the derivative, the thing behind the thing, as Jason Raznick likes to say. And, you know, those stocks have been great. I mean, I bought lithium at, I think, $5. It's $31. And
you sold half at 21. You sold half.
I sold half. Yeah, I often do that. I often do that when the stock doubles. I sell half, and then I'm playing with the house's money forever. It's sometimes a mistake, but it makes me feel more comfortable in some of these positions. Fisker was basically the same thing. It doubled, and I was like, okay. But then it just got silly. So I sold it all.
Okay, 20 minutes on Tesla and EVs. Come on, what's next? Well,
that's all there is to talk about.
Well, we
little blue bar.
We just had an M&A deal get announced.
What's going on in the spook? Dennis, what are you doing over there? Are you leaning on the buy button or something?
We ripping?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has his elbow just on the buy button.
Yeah. Fat elbow.
No, Casper, guys. Casper Sleep, which only IPO'd in February of last year, is going private now.
Really?
They don't like their stock price.
This is a bit of an interesting one. So the IPO at a market cap or at valuation of around $500 million. They're at about $150 million market cap right now. And now they're being acquired for $6.90 a share, which puts them at, that's actually a nice healthy premium. So that puts them at what, a $300 million market cap?
I don't think I've ever traded the stock, Casper.
Wow, look at this PRPL.
Well,
too.
When they're a $100 million company, they don't hit my filters very often. So I don't think I've ever traded the stock.
Look at these. Look at this purple innovations. This is this thing's
what's
getting,
that one doing?
It's getting laid out.
It's the same.
I mean, it's another mattress.
What do
company.
They do? I don't even know what purple
it's,
does.
It's the same idea. It's mattress in a box is what it is.
I think people are figuring everyone bought a new bed during the pandemic that. And no one, now people are going to be going to Airbnb and Marriott and everything, and they're not going to be buying new beds. I guess that's the thinking on that. Look at you.
So your sympathy trade here is purple, I guess, right?
Yep.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's the only one. It's the only one.
Yeah. We don't care about Casper now. It's getting taken over. The Arabs will take it over 690, 682. There's no money left to be made there. If you were long at overnight, congratulations. Ring the register and move on. Purple. Sometimes these sympathy plays pop. Is it too? I don't know. It's up 7%. That's pretty good sympathy pop already. So if you're buying a 7, are you giving up the edge already? Maybe. We needed to know that 7 minutes ago. We could buy 1375. And somebody was on it.
I don't know. That's just a weird one because it's been public for like a year and a half or a little more than that and kind of a disaster IPO.
Well, we're in the tail of two markets, so we've talked about this. Yeah. Like there's some stocks that are just relentlessly bid and there's some stocks that are relentlessly sold. So I guess when you're a smaller or your PE firm and you're looking diamonds in the rough and you've got, a company that's you think's worth more than 150 mil, well, let's throw some money at it and let's buy it.
I mean, it's also not their fault that they IPO'd in February of 2020. Like a month before.
Not the best timing in the world.
A month before the world shut down.
Not the best timing in the world.
Yeah, but people needed, people were buying.
I don't know.
Yeah,
we weren't buying anything the first couple
of
days.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so I just saw that come across. But there were some other movers we have this morning.
What about Hertz? Somebody said, before we go.
Sure.
So Hertz is officially back on the big board, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, when did that happen? Like 5 days ago, I see Hertz back on the big board.
Happened last week, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So it's back. It's back.
How
bad they got diluted.
On the Hertz IPO, they weren't actually raising it. This is not good, guys. They weren't raising any money. All right. They were the money wasn't going to the company. It was going to the selling shareholders. Okay. This is not like it's not a good situation, I think, for retail investors. This is good for the people that brought this thing out of bankruptcy and are getting paid, but this is not good for everybody.
I like being able to trade Hertz car again. I used to like pairing those stocks up, so I like that. That's on the big board. $25. Your level on HT Zebra. It's got to hold that level. That's the level of all levels. If that gets breached, get the hell out, I would say. But as long as it's above that, you take a shot.
What about car? What about car?
It's come all the way back down a long way. Has it come down far enough? They're rocking and rolling.
Look how quiet that is. Wow.
Yeah, you know what? I'll say this. I would not want to be short car. If it gets above, get above Friday's or Thursday's high, I guess.
Well,
get
two highs in the same area. Yep.
Yeah, get above the 276. I'm going to make a run for 300. I don't mind the car chart here. You got to stop yourself out at the low, though. So the low of the move would be 245. It's like, wow, that's a 30-point stop. But, I mean, you're out. So, again, always look when you put on a trade. Don't look how much money you're going to make. Look how much money you're willing to lose and then have your stop point. So, because that's how you've got to analyze risk always. So, I'm looking low of the move, 245. That's 267. So, I guess 22 points higher. So, you'd have to hold it to that really to give it a fair shake. I don't know if I want to lose 10% on it. So, I probably wouldn't take it here. But it doesn't set up bad.
I want to move to a couple of movers this morning. We were talking before we hopped on the show this morning about Boeing. Well, not just Boeing. We talked about all the airline makers, but Boeing in particular, because they do have a headline this morning, and they got an order for two new 777 freighters. I think it was their first new order for a while in quite some time. Airbus, too, also got some orders, I saw.
But they can't fill them.
Right. But Boeing trading higher this morning up to 228. Not a stock we discuss too much these days.
Well, it's been sleepy, and this market has been rip-roaring. And we are into, this month coming up is typically, run to Christmas is typically a very strong month for the markets. The S&Ps are making new highs. They're going to make new highs again here probably. You've been running, and tech has been running the show here for a bit. The question is, does the show start to get run by the laggards in the next week? I think so. This could, does this kickstart Boeing? It's so much memory, 230 is maybe not the stock that I'd like. And the airlines have just, you know, look at AAL's move on Friday, like vomit. The thing got hit really hard. LUV has come down. But now you look at them and you think, could you buy the dip? Do you have, you know, some memory on some of these stocks? I think you could do them as trades. AAL, I would stop myself at Friday's low. LUV's come down substantially, but you're down here near support again. You know, the cruise lines come down. I think there's still a reopening trade here. I think this rally is actually, or this sell-off is actually an opportunity to buy some of these stocks as trades. I would stop myself out on the lows of the move. CCL, for instance. And, you know, and why we're talking Boeing and I go on all these, because they're all just paired up together. They're all cut from the same cloth, obviously. 21.31, the low of the move on CCL. So, Joel, I don't know. I threw a whole bunch of
stuff. No, I agree with you.
Cruise lines, airlines, Boeing. I'm not buying Boeing up $8, but do you buy some of the cruise lines and the airlines that, you know, have been hammered? Do they have a bounce because of Boeing today? That's my question.
Yeah, I mean, they've had good sell-offs. Did you say freighter? You said 777 freighters, though? Is that what you said?
Well,
they weren't passenger airplanes.
Yeah, they're
freight. That's a good move.
They're freight aircraft.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good move. One thing working against the airlines and is crude. It's starting to come off a little bit. We've talked about the reopening trade. They are coming into areas to support. I just kind of got the feeling that, you know, travel is going to be, you know, redefined, and maybe it's, you know,
that's true.
And I think maybe everyone's going to take an EV and go to an EV park or something, you know,
when
instead of an
EV
RV.
Plane?
I think
when
it's
do we get
different.
The electric plane?
We're not.
That'd be
know.
A very long extension cord.
We're not.
I don't know. I just
kind
of feel
planes,
like
the clean planes. Here we are trying to make the world cleaner. The planes are the dirtiest things. I look in the sky and my kids, when they're my girl, little girl, and she's younger, she's like, what is that in the sky? Looking at the chemical trail. The chemtrails that these planes leave. When do we get the electric plane? That's what I'll invest in, the electric plane.
They
just don't want to run out of a charge in the sky.
RYCEI is working on an electric plane.
Do we do have some companies working? There's got to be somebody working on that.
Yeah, we already have that. We got Jovi.
Okay, well,
Rolls Royce.
Wait, no. Jovi's doing the freaking
EVTOL.
It's like the Uber for the sky, right? Isn't that?
Yeah. It's like helicopters.
Right,
that's the first step.
Right. It's like air taxis. That's
air taxis.
Yes.
Yeah.
But are they electric?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
What's the company?
It's Joby.
There's a couple. There's Joby.
It's J O B Y.
J O B Y.
And then there's another one too.
Did you guys see the flying motorcycle over the weekend?
What?
There's a flying motorcycle that goes like a
whoa.
Yes. Google.
No, I'd invest in a flying motorcycle.
Well, what were you smoking this weekend?
Okay. This is another one you guys say.
Another
I'm
one
smoking.
Of Joel's dreams.
We were doing one of those Elon Musk creative sessions.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go again.
I think Elon Musk probably gets some of his ideas from our show.
Creative sessions, man.
Good. The creative sessions. ACHR, Super SPAC man saying, is also working on EV planes. AC, I wrote them both down. Wow, these stocks have been killed. So nobody's on this story. This story is hated right now. Yes. ACHR goes down every day.
Yes, they're SPACs. What do you expect?
Are they SPACs?
They were.
SPACs.
Yeah, anyway.
They haven't had a lot of love. But some
anyways, Boeing SPACs levels, it's bid. It's there's nothing on here on the dailies. I mean, there is one level to keep an eye on at 228.66. That's where we're at right now. That's your October 12th high. And then 232.10. That'd be the next level. The other thing, man, the whole retreat. I mean, they had problems before, right? Before the pandemic, you know, we remember everything that happened. So maybe they're getting those behind them. The high rebound has been since the COVID low has been 278.57, and I think that's right around the 50% retracement of this whole move when this went from what 450. Down to 267. You get back and you hold 267 for an extended period of time, that could turn very bullish on Boeing. The monthlies are looking good too.
Long ways away though.
No, it's not. Not the way these markets move. That's be there in 3 days. The way
why
this
not?
Moves.
So, do you think it can go? Do you think?
Like, I don't know.
Do you
I'm
think
just
we
saying.
We have follow through here today. Here's the problem when you're buying a stock like Boeing. It's been in the gutter for so long. There's so many bag holders here. It's hard to like kickstart and get it going. It might. It might kickstart and get going. But, you know, you do have a huge level at 230. And then you look past that. Oh, you got 232. And then you got bag holders at 240. It's why it's so much tough to buy these stocks when they've been in the gutter this long. Because there's too many bag holders up top willing to sell their shares. So I'd love to get talked into some of these stocks. You know, same thing with all these cruise lines, airlines. I mean, do they have bounce trades in them? I think they could have bounce trades, but are these things ripping, roaring, and making new highs, and these are the ones you want to long-term invest in? I don't think so. So
I feel like every month I come to this question, like, oh, do I want to buy the airlines here, like, long-term?
I kind of do sometimes, too.
And once a month, I ask myself that question, and then the answer is always no, but I don't know. Anyway.
What's the long-term trend?
Not your friend.
Yeah.
It's been that way for years.
Yep.
Anyway. Okay.
All right, 3 minutes.
We had a few more things before we bring Tim on. We can do like Dollar Tree, which is up because they got an activist stake.
Dollar Tree.
Mantle Ridge took a $1.8 billion stake in the company, and they are going to unlock value, apparently. So they say.
Man, those stores are a mess.
Because I let my kids go wild in there. Everybody, parent lets the kids go wild in there too. It's like, oh, what are we going to do? Let's go to Dollar Tree and mess some stuff up. It's awesome. You go in there, I'm like, you guys are allowed to pick out two toys each, you know? And you go in there and you walk out and it was $8. This is awesome. The kids like it just as much as like if they go buy a $40 toy. They're like, my 4-year-old's looking around like, oh, and then she trades this toy in for this toy and this toy in for this toy the whole time. Oh, I want this too.
It's a new all-time high.
It's awesome.
New all-time high.
I guess it's going to be $2 now, right? Because we're going to the $2 tree because of inflation, but still pretty cheap.
Right.
It's a new all-time high for Dollar Tree?
Dollar and up tree is what it is.
Dollar and up tree. These stocks just, you know, stock making new all-time high. I never like to be short stocks making new all-time highs, but it's had a long run here. So, and you are, well, Joel, that 220.37, we have actually not made the all-time high back in April. 220, big level. Holy DLTR, level of all levels. Joel, super duper absolute resistance here. Maybe nothing's absolute. 220, 120. What do you think of that 120.37 from April?
We traded up to 123 in the pre-market.
So. Yeah, that don't count, though. Now it's back down under 120. Because that don't hit the
intraday chart. Count.
Can it get up above 120 in the regular session and break out to new all-time highs? Then it's interesting. If that 120 holds, be careful.
Yeah, I'd be, use that as a target, and if it hits that, keep on going. How's the other ones? There's Dollar General.
Yeah, Dollar General. Then I can throw Big Lots. I throw Big Lots in them. Oh, Big Lots is sleepy. I could get talked into Big Lots here. BIG, what do you think?
Yeah.
Retail's kind of turned it around.
Wow.
The Big Lots, remember where they went wrong is they started to clean up their stores, and people like me don't like that. I like to go in there and, you know,
buy the
aspirin, you know, that's, you know, box that's all banged up because, you know, the aspirin's okay inside and you get like 50 cents off. So, I mean, that's where they kind of went wrong a little bit, was trying to be like a little fancier stores when everybody kind of just want a discount and they like the feel of the little rougher around the edges store. But I can get talk. I kind of don't mind this Big Lots chart. You had the big move. You know, at the end of October, we went from 44 up to 53, and now we've consolidated for a couple of days here and stopped going down. Right around a little 50% retracement, Joel. I'm kind of don't mind.
Yeah,
the Big Lots
chart. You got a couple lows in the same area. I mean, I don't mind that.
I
just
want
to, you know, it hasn't went.
Big's going on my shopping list. I haven't bought it.
A ton of monthly support. I mean, this was monthly support at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And it had a nice run in January last year. Maybe this is when maybe had some tax selling still going on a little bit. If anybody has any losses in anything, and now you're getting a little bit of a pop. 52 looks like a good number. A little trading range, maybe 48 to 52, but not looking bad on the chart.
Yeah, I could get talked into that one. I don't mind that chart.
All right. One more before Tim Quick. Oatly, OTLY. This is your big loser of the day. Earnings is what this is. They're down 14%. And I'll give you the numbers here. EPS, it lost 7 cents per share. Sales 171 versus $185 million estimate. Sales guidance for the year. $635 million versus $694 million.
Yikes.
So they missed on their sales guidance and their sales for the last quarter. And this is your big loser of the morning here, OTLY.
Beyond Meat, Oatly Group. I mean, I guess writing was on the wall here. So oat milk, meatless.
True story here.
What do you got?
Oh boy.
So Emily bought some of this oat milk, right? And she left it at our house, and she said, or she tried it at our house, and she hated it. And so we left it in the refrigerator, and I'm like, I was looking at it, and I'll try it, you know. So I tried it. I looked on it. The date was okay. It was horrible. and then I poured it out in the sink, and I don't want to tell you what the color looked like. I'm telling you,
it wasn't white.
It was off white.
It was more like yellow. It was not good. So there, if I would have taken not the eyeball test, but the taste bud test, I mean, it was absolutely horrible. But you did make a low under $10. This is a new IPO, a new all-time low. So keep an eye on 980. That's your pre-market low.
I'm not a fan at all. Stocks making new all-time lows.
You got to go.
I want to talk to Tim about
don't
market
own stocks
structure
making
Tesla.
New all-time lows.
Okay.
Tim, market structure Tesla.
Let's do it.
Saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options in stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. Tim Kwas, good morning, sir.
Good to see you guys. Happy Monday to you. And Spencer, I owe you an apology. I think I was supposed to be with you on Friday.
Yeah, that's
and
all
I was in an aircraft at that moment.
I figured because he didn't respond. I was like, he's doing something. He's indisposed or whatever. So it's all good.
We were down catching the Rolling Stones and Zach Brown in Atlanta, along with 50,000 of our closest friends at the Mercedes-Benz.
Stones are in town tonight.
Are they?
They're
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Shoot.
The rest of us have no excuse after watching Mick Jagger and Ronnie Wood and Keith Richards do their thing for an hour and a half. And they're my mother's age. And here's Mick Jagger running down the stage. He's skipping. He's jumping around on one foot. It's crazy.
How old is he now?
He's just Mick Jagger. 70,
I think he's 78, isn't he?
Oh.
78 years old.
What?
Yeah, he's not pitchy. I mean, if you listen to his recordings in the 60s and now, they're all the same as identical. I was shocked at how good they were. So that's what I was doing. And that was so the after effect and the aircraft blotted out any thought of Friday Benzinga with the
pilot. That's all right, Tim.
Do you know why they sounded so good? Because it was probably like a pre-recorded concert. They do that stuff all the time, Dennis. Don't be naive. No. But Zach Brown, I mean, that would have been great. I love Zach Brown.
We do too. This is the third time we've seen him.
All right.
Yeah.
And market structure.
Well worth it. Plus one other little tidbit, because this is two things come to mind, and I'll precede it with this. It's I love these sayings from the Proverbs: desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And then George Carlin: hard work is for people short on talent. So that's been my motto. Market Structure Edge was the big winner of best day trading software at the Benzinga FinTech Awards.
Congratulations.
That was reason for champagne in Atlanta. We were delighted. It was because we put our shoulder to that wheel to the best of our ability. And so thank you guys. And thank the Edge Mob, hashtag Edge Mob for that. We're delighted.
Congratulations, Tim, on the win.
Where are you, Tim?
I am in Denver at the moment.
Back to Denver.
I'm in the Modern IR offices in Denver.
Oh, you're back in the office.
I am briefly. Yeah. Oh, then we're
you're
off
never
to
in
Boston.
The office. You're always like mountains in the background.
Exactly. I haven't been to Steamboat in weeks because we've been all over the place. And we'll be in Boston this week, then in Charleston, then in Austin, and finally back in Steamboat, I think, about December 8th. So we've got a bunch of ground to cover. Anyway, I heard Tesla. Is that what you guys?
Yes.
That's what Joel wants to talk about. Yes.
Okay. Let's. And I saw you were talking about Big Lots. You were talking about Oatly. Let's see.
Well, Joel wants to ask about Tesla, I think, because okay. We're wondering what it does to the market structure when you know you have a whale among whales in the market mm-hmm. with you.
Right. Okay. Selling. So.
Yeah.
So it is informative. Because you can, it's a great lesson on how the market works, the supply chain of the stock market. So this is Market Structure Edge, and if you have you folks who use it, you know we talk about supply and demand all the time. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at demand on the top, supply on the bottom. I'll briefly explain that. If you want to join along, go to marketstructureedge.com, hit request free trial, put your name and email in, and you can follow along. So what we're looking at is 30 trading days here for Tesla with demand, which is an algorithm that takes into account the various behaviors that drive. There are four big reasons people buy and sell stocks: the story, the characteristics, the short-term prices, and its association with a derivative. That's really what it comes down to.
Wow, I've never heard that before, actually. I want to write that down.
Can you awesome. Say that again, Tim?
Yeah, say that again. I've never heard that before.
Okay, four reasons. People buy and sell stocks for the story,
yeah.
The characteristics,
yeah.
The short-term prices, and the association with a derivative. So that's puts and calls and swaps and other contracts for difference. That is it. That's the summation of demand, and those things fluctuate. And it's why we pay attention to month end and options expirations, because those purposes fluctuate. And then the supply side in the stock market today is borrowed or created stock, short volume. So here's the interesting thing. So the look what was happening to the supply side in Tesla right before the stock dropped. So everybody, all the market makers, probably for Elon Musk, are already working in this transaction. So they short the stock. So why? Because they can offset their risk. If they're a riskless principal, they're not going to front run the trade, but they can offload the risk associated with working the trade for Elon. And so they short the stock goes down, and they cover their exposure. So short volume goes up to 54% and then drops all the way down to 41%. What's a huge swing when you're talking about a stock that trades at times 40, $50 billion a stock a day? It's a crazy amount. And then here's the demand side. So demand was still very strong at the same time. But when you have demand at the ceiling and supply rising, get out. It's one of the classic lessons of market structure. I look at it now and say, this isn't so bad. I don't think Tesla is about to fall apart. I think that equilibrium is very close here, and probably sentiment turns. And so if you're watching that as a trader, you want to know, when does demand begin to rise? And if supply remains low, the price is going to rise too. It's that simple. So I think that's how the market absorbed a massive known event. Elon Musk selling at least $7 billion of stock, and I bet he sold more than that. I bet, well, you know, he probably did $10 billion, just like he said he would. And it's come out in pieces, but it all probably happened right here, because that's how these transactions work. If Pfizer wants to repurchase a bunch of stock, Goldman Sachs goes and buys $5 billion like that. And then it works. That process works its way through the market. Accelerated share repurchase.
And there is a delay. And Tim's correct. There's a delay on the filings, obviously, when they hit the Friday sales, Spencer. Do we know that hit Friday night? Do we know when those sales, just to talk to this point? Do we know when those sales actually occurred on Tesla?
Let me check it out.
Yeah, so it's Friday night is when it reported.
The filing says Friday, the date.
So that one came out really fast.
Was Friday.
Yeah, that one came out really, but we know on the original one, we didn't start seeing filings until Wednesday, and it was Monday.
Right.
So it's, they don't always hit that quick. That one did hit quick.
We've looked at this in many, literally scores of activist situations where you have a required 13D filing that details when you bought or sold things. And then we go look at the data and say, well, it's impossible. It had to happen before, because the market couldn't absorb these things. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how you use a prime broker to help you facilitate a transaction. Prime brokers are brokers who will provide a range of services, capital, execution services, and so on. And they're going to work that in a broad-based fashion. And then you report it, right? So these transactions occurred. Well, there's not a perfect match to those things, but you can see it. Traders, you can see that stuff coming. If you see this event and there's news, you know it's time to go because it's already happened. You're going to see that divergence. Can I ask a question here, Tim?
Yeah. Why can't someone make a market? Like, this is when like Goldman or Morgan, I won't mention any firms, like, they'll come in and they'll say, hey, I'll do this. I'll do everything at 9:50.
Right.
Everything. I'll clean you up. I mean, does he have to do it? And all of a sudden you see this huge print, or it'll have to be like 9.25 or something like that.
Joel, nobody's making a market on 10 million shares of Tesla. No. So there's no market maker that's going to absorb all that in one blow. So that works, yeah, when you're selling $10 million worth, not 10 million times 1,000.
No, there's
so that's the math.
Let's get Dennis. I'll do it at 800.
And then we'll work it out in the open market.
Right.
Never leave our house again.
So, Tim, bottom line on Tesla and the market structure, take us right back to our original question there. Obviously, you know, we've seen the demand or the supply issue from Musk here. What is the market structure looking at now going forward?
Well, here's the thing. So demand is still falling. See that? This demand's returning to 5. Yeah. But look at the supply side is also reverted at the same time. That suggests to me that we're very close to this, that somewhere around it's at 5.4 now, I think. So that's still above the axis of 5. We think of 5, and we just normalized the supply demand to a 10-point scale. That's all we did. So we could have a very simple way. Human minds like the idea of tens. Anything above 5 is excess demand. It could stop at about, let's call it 4, and then reverse and rise again. These conditions to me don't predict that Tesla goes to 800. I'm not seeing that in this data. I could be wrong, of course, but I look at that and say ahead in the next week, price turns, maybe even in less time than that. Remember,
I think options it could turn too.
Yeah, options expire Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. VIX, index options, and then triple witching. So people are going to look at that. I would, as a trader, if I had any kind of muscle, I'd say, I'm buying calls. I'd start buying calls to move the price just so I can unload those calls by Friday. It's a possibility, and I think there's a setup for that.
All right. Is there anything else on your radar for the week, Tim?
Well, so I think in the same vein, we should talk about this great surge. And I tweeted this stuff Monday. I said, look at EV. You know, you look at the supply-demand balance in the whole of EV. Yeah. You could look at cloud computing. You could look at communication services. All of those things indicated gains. Well, all of that's gone away, by the way. So cloud computing, if you're in cloud computing, time to be out. Communication services, still room, because the demand side's still strong. Supply side's declining. EV. Here's the interesting thing. I could just look at the overall portfolio. This is giving us the averages for the overall portfolio with 13 companies in it. Look at this. This is why EV surged. There was a massive departure between demand and supply. See how supply plunged and demand rose? Well, that portends a big surge. Now, sure, you could say this is the infrastructure bill. Yes, but you've got a great setup that will tell you that it's coming. Now, where is it? Well, the supply side's fine, but the demand side's done. So if you get out of your EV and wait for the next time. If you've missed the exit, just stay, because that'll turn again. But that's that.
Well, the story's not going away. It's CV story is not going away.
No, and it's if you look at the top end of these. So look at, here's QuantumScape, Fisker, Nikola, Lucid, Lordstown. They're all 10s, but look at their short volume. Save for Lordstown, shouldn't be in Lordstown. The rest of these, not bad. I mean, at 40% short, remember the S&P 500 is 43% short. So these EV stocks are still have a tighter supply chain than the broad market. And in less than until that changes, you know, I look at it and say there's still a good story in EV. Just don't expect the kind of 12, 13, 18% gains we saw.
Can you just explain one more time before you go, because we talk this all the time. Yeah. Short volume, much different than short interest. Just I'll let you explain your data there on short volume, because you're talking about the actual trading of the market on a daily basis, not looking at, you know, what's being held short.
Right. Short interest is a 1974 measure, and it has not changed since then. So don't rely on a 1974 measure to tell you what to expect in 2021. Short volume is a 2009 measure created by FINRA to measure the amount of trading volume coming from borrowed stock. And believe it or not, almost half the volume does. And yeah, so
it's market makers.
Exactly. Because of that, we've talked over and over and over about the association of between the market making exemption from the short locate rules and meme stocks happen in car. You can see it with, if the market makers are not creating stock and demand surges, what will happen to price? It will skyrocket until those things adjust. And you can see that coming. So that's what short volume is. Vital measure today. It's one of the things we're really keyed in on. You know, one of the things we've done with Edge is to say, here are the things you should find. The next step for us is for us to find it for you. Where are the divergences occurring between supply and demand that predict these outcomes? And it's very predictable. It's not perfect. There's no perfect solution. But all we're doing is saying, this is how the market works, and you can take advantage of that.
All right, Tim Kwas joins us every single Monday for Market Structure Mondays. The link to his platform, Market Structure Edge, is up on the screen. It's also in the description. And check back every Monday for this segment with Tim. Tim, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Back at you guys.
Next week.
Good to see you.
Hey, before we run out of time today, I do want to talk about cannabis stocks briefly.
Sure.
I want to pull up a chart here of the MSOS Cannabis ETF. And I just want to show you the volume.
Okay? They really ran. They really went.
I just want to show you the volume. Chat, does anybody happen to remember what happened to cannabis stocks as a whole around November 8th? You can see the volume there on my chart. It just exploded. This is the U.S. cannabis U.S. cannabis stocks ETF, right, from Advisor Shares. Does anyone in the chat remember what happened to cannabis stocks, to U.S. cannabis stocks specifically, around November 8th? Something happened, and that it prompted this volume increase. No, not a Republican deal.
What was the catalyst?
The catalyst was J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan said, starting November 8th, we are not going to let our prime broker clients buy U.S. cannabis securities. That's what that was. Then, chat's all over the legalization thing. On top of that, you have the Republicans of all people, hijacking cannabis as their issue. Oh, screw the Democrats. We're going to drop our own bill to legalize cannabis. Boom. On top of that, you get earnings from last week, and we don't care about whether they're good or bad. We just care that they're over with. So you got we're past earnings. We've got underlying demand, because people who literally want to buy U.S. cannabis stocks can only buy this one thing, this one security, MSOS. You've got the Republicans doing their thing to legalize cannabis. And what does this all come down to? A perfect storm here. For cannabis stocks.
Well, and not to mention, they were massively oversold. Like, we looked at cannabis a week ago and saying, it's sleepy, and they were oversold. I think it was maybe, like, I can't remember what day, but I can remember looking, you know, at Tilray and CGC and saying, well, you're down here, and they've stopped going down for a few days, and they're massively oversold, so you could get a bit of a squeeze. And that's exactly what's occurring here in all of these stocks. Now, again, you're in stocks that typically selling the rip works very well in. So, you know, where this party ends, I don't know, but am I coming in a canopy growth and buying it now at $15.68 when it was $11 last week? Hell no. You know, that's a 40% move. Could it go to 16? Could it go to 18? We don't never know where the top's going to be, but you have an overhead supply issue, just as we were talking with Tim. With that being said, these stocks are massively oversold. So if you get a dip, then maybe you start to think about getting back in. From a long-term scale, they're massively oversold. On a very short-term scale, they're actually overbought now. So you want a dip to get back. If you're a believer in the pot story, I'm not. But if you are, you want a dip to get back in these things. I wouldn't be chasing them this morning.
And Crypto Morning Show is, yes. Also, there's the tax laws harvesting aspect of this as well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to come eventually. I was thinking that's early.
Yeah. Now, some people start early, too. I mean, it all depends. You guys have a hard time finding losers in your portfolio. I'm just saying we haven't hit $16 yet. Pre-market high comes in at $15.90. There's a pair of highs right in that area, $16, right? $15.92, $15.99. So, I don't know. I mean, there's two highs in the same area, but just looking at the monthly, I mean, if you're in this, like Dennis, you said, I'm not coming in here and buying it at 1570. What if you're willing to risk down to the low of the move and you're going to think you're going to get 10, 20 points out of this?
I don't think you're getting 10, 20 points out. If I thought there was 10, 20 points, I would buy it at 1570. I think there's a couple points possible. And I see, you know, I don't know when it's going to pull the rug out from under it because they seem to always pull the rug out from under it on these cannabis stocks.
These things never stop.
The story has been cold for a while. It gets hot for a few days, and then all of a sudden it goes ice cold again. So I honestly think it's a rally to be sold.
I'll try
again,
to get
just going with the basic. I try to keep my trading simple. Stocks in uptrends, I'm buying dips. Stocks in downtrends, I'm selling rips. This is a stock in a clear long-term downtrend. You have a 50% or 40% rally in CGC in a week. That is a rip to be sold.
I would agree with you for the Canadian name, CGC, Tilray.
Yeah, well, let's look at the problem with most of the U.S. names aren't even, you know, GRWG hasn't even started going, actually. So
I know.
That looks better.
I know. And I'm talking about MSOS for certain people, certain institutions that want to buy U.S. cannabis stocks and they bang through JP Morgan. They can't. They literally can't. JP Morgan said, we're not going to let you. But there is an alternative. That's why there's like literally hundreds of millions of dollars flowing into MSOS in the last week or so, because there's no alternative. So MSOS is
that's just for JP Morgan clients, though.
These things snowball.
They're not as big as you think.
But they anymore. Snowball is my point. So we're up from 25 to up to 32 and 33 now in the last week and a half. So
yeah. So I will take the point again and say MSOS in a clear downtrend. This is a nice, huge rip. We're talking about you're right, to your point, Spencer, 4-7 points on $26 stock, 30% rally in a week and a half. That is the definition of a rip. I would sell it.
Okay, fine.
Sorry,
I'm not a fan. I think, and you guys know I'm bullish, I think I'll take the other side of that for the rest of this week.
Oh, okay. I'll do a lunch bet for you. So MSOS 33.
Okay.
With 33 right now.
Yeah.
I will take, and you've got the momentum going with you. That's the one thing you do have going with you. So I want to go out far.
No. I can also
I'm not going like a box.
This sounds like a swap.
38.
Like a binary swap.
38 versus 27. I'll do that with you. No, 33, 20. So 33. Yeah. Five up, five down. So they're 33, 28 versus 38, basically. That's what I'm looking at.
28 by end of Friday's close?
No. 28 versus 38 forever. Those don't end when you have a time like that. So 30, whatever hit first. So 38, I'm taking 28, you're taking 38.
I'll take that. All
right, we got a lunch bet. Yeah. If I lose, Joel owes you a lunch because he owes
you. Oh, you keep saying that. Now that
I can't come to the country. Well,
you can.
No, you can't. You can.
I got to come down there. I'm going to come see you guys eventually.
All right, I'm writing this down.
He writes down, and you know what? I never write them down, so I forget I made the bets. These guys get me. So I don't remember it like 2 days from now that I made this bet, but they'll let me know when I lose.
All right. Okay, here. Oh, my gosh. We ran out of time. Okay, let's just do one from the chat. Let's do Shopify. Somebody asked about Shopify.
What a move.
Like a half hour ago.
This stock has just been on absolute fire. That candle on Friday, holy mackerel. This is your tech play in Canada. This is like
the only tech play.
It's like Nortel was in 1999 for Canada. Shopify is the tech stock of Canada. And, you know, obviously that's, you know, new all-time highs. When stocks are making new all-time highs, you do not want to be short them. I would be a buyer of pullbacks in Shopify. Valuation is terrible. It's high, but it doesn't matter when the story is hot. So we don't even consider valuation this time. How do you know the story is hot? The stock's making a new all-time high. The story is hot. So I would be a buyer of pullbacks in Shopify. Am I chasing it up 175 points? No, but if you get a 50% retracement, which I love the 50% retracements, you know, stocks going waves. You're buying, you know, a stock clear uptrend, gets you the dip. If it gives you a dip, a 9 points is not much of a dip, but, you know, could there continue to go? I wouldn't want to be short it. Don't short stocks make new all-time highs.
Wow, this is a tough one. I mean, I'll say like minor, like one star resistance at close at 1669.52, and then maybe a 1.5 star at 1674.79.
I wish I was wrong.
Six times the volume of Friday from Thursday. So that, I was going to get like super bullish on this one because when it had this big green candle, it had two more like this, you know, two pretty good days. But this is like you're going into like new all time highs here. So you might see a little profit taking. But you got two levels on the upside, 69.52 and 74.79. And you got a little buyer here at 16.60. I don't know if that's, going to hold up. 21,000 shares have traded so far.
All right, it is 9:01. Going to say goodbye to Joel.
Yep, I got a hop.
Goodbye to Dennis. And hello to Live Trading with Benzinga, which will start in a couple of minutes here after I wrap up today's show. So, as always, please remember all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or trading advice. Thanks to our guest, Tim Quast. Reminder, marketstructureedge.com. Link in description. Link was on the screen before. It's literally just marketstructureedge.com. Benzinga Pro, check that out if you haven't already. You can get a free 2-week trial. Go to pro.benzinga.com. Last thing I want to plug for the day before I forget is our next Benzinga Boot Camp is this Saturday. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to put the link in chat right now. You can go to benzingabootcamp.com to learn more. It is where's my chat? There it is. It is a full day event, 9 to 5. We're having, let's see, who's speaking? Jay Kujasik from Trend Spider. We got Anne-Marie Band, Samantha Ledoux, Chris Capri, Mark Petrino. We got a full day of education on trading technicals this Saturday, 9 to 5, benzingabootcamp.com. Check that out. All right, it is 9:02. We're going to wrap this up, go over to Live Trading with Benzinga, myself, Mitch, Ryan Faluna, Zunaid, and we'll hang out through the open. That's what we'll do. So we'll see you guys over there, and thanks for watching.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.